What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Folks, we're live, September 15th, 2020. Patriot Power Hour, back in your life. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters Cochran, with my co-host, Future Dan. How you doing there, buddy?
Yeah, good. And I'm hoping all the people down in the Gulf tonight have their preps in order, because they're going to get hit.
Absolutely.
Big rainstorm, at least, but it is Hurricane Sally coming in tonight as we speak.
Yep, and we've talked about this. There's different levels to prepping, but even having just level one preparedness, it pays dividends, even if it's just for comfort level, let alone survival, in a situation where you lose power for 3 days, 5 days a week, or have other issues from a natural disaster, let alone something worse like a EMP like Dave Jones tries to prepare for. That's a new level, but do it in stages, do it in levels. So, but definitely thoughts out to those people. And there's the wildfires. I mean, there's just so much going on, let alone COVID this year. So, yeah, preparedness is a new, it might be the word of the year for 2020, at least in our community. We're saying, hey, we tried to tell you so, but it's not too late to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, and in those flooding situations, sometimes when you know, normal expectation is FEMA or the National Guard or at least local state authorities are going to come in and set up, right? They're going to come in with some kind of support structure. It's supposed to happen, right? That's planned. But tonight, if it's catastrophic flooding where you are, it's not the preps in terms of materiel that's going to necessarily, you know, make you safer. It's the skill sets, what to know to do in a tremendous storm like that if you weren't able to evacuate. And a lot of people don't.
No, great point. And it's just being even just mindful of, hey, this thing's coming. Maybe I should get out of town. Or, hey, there's a fire, you know, 5-10 miles away. Maybe I should get out of here instead of just kind of being in la-la land. Like a lot of us are, you know, being guilty of that myself. But that's what we try to do here at Patriot Power Hour, not, especially in the second segment, the news segment, is hammer at home. Just keep hammering all the current events and how these trends are developing, because it's so easy to tune it out. And I'm guilty of that sometimes, but can't do that whether it's for preparedness or for the news. And they really intertwine.
Yeah. And meanwhile, out west, we do have a lot of wildfire and a lot of reports of arson. We're going to get into that, what it means across several indicators. Not good news. There are a lot of people setting fires while more fires are going on. Like, that's deliberately putting stress on the firefighting capability. Mm-hmm. Have to believe that there's felonies resulting in these people are just caught by the authorities. Molotov cocktails into the woods nearby that set fires. That's happening right now, and I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Well, this is that is disconcerting, because if you think about it, and I'm in risk management insurance, so I think see things go badly, you know, for a profession and handle that. But society's really held together by threads, and all it takes is a very few percent, and they can destroy pretty much everything. So you got that, and people are starting to come unwind a lot. But you also have some, maybe, terrorism or sabotage. How easy would it be for another state or another, you know, some other actor set some of those brush fires. Or I'm still thinking other terrorist attacks could be pending, to be honest. And that could come as simply as staged shots and murders at a protest, you know, especially around election season. So that could be, you know, we do speculate a little bit here, but we mostly try to stick to the news. But what I'm trying to say is the environment is ripe, especially heading into this election season, for not just natural disasters, but man-made disasters that either look natural, i.e. maybe some of these fires or even COVID, to, you know, the financial disasters, that's man-made, certainly.
We got storms, we got financial disasters, we got wildfires, and
just random crazy people that are just losing it and just setting fires, like arsonists, just setting brush, you know, massive wild. They start as brush fires, turn into massive wildfires.
Yeah,
like you said, you never really seen that before. Well, when society starts to come unhinged, those kind of fringe people start really getting a lot worse, you know.
And it's what, 6 weeks to presidential election, so
yeah. Right. So we got a lot of stuff adding up, a lot of kindling. And I see little fires. I'm hoping we can extinguish it to some degree. But a lot of this is going to have to play out one way or another. It's just a lot of pent-up energy there.
Now, I should do better research because I'm sure there are people in this community, the preparedness, you know, community that talk about surviving wildfire. I've seen articles. I've seen them. But it strikes me that, you know, the decision to attempt to wait out a hurricane in the Gulf tonight versus waiting to see if the fire burns in your direction before heading out is not. Wouldn't you think it's a much more severe penalty for being wrong quickly with the fire?
That's a good way to put it. It's that variability or that extreme tail risk is much. I'm not going to say much, much worse, but it's definitely worse on average for fire to hit you, total destruction. You can still have, you know, you can still die and have massive property damage from hurricane, but being engulfed in a wildfire, and thankfully that never happened to anyone I know, but I did grow up in Colorado in pretty much forested areas and areas that I visited.
Did eventually. You evacuate from fire?
No, but I moved away and 2000 and the area where I lived in has been evacuated twice in the last few years.
But didn't burn down.
Did not burn down. However, a few of the kids that I knew in elementary school, their area did.
Yeah.
So my point is, this is pretty new, but it's also
just
these fires happen. We're living in these forests as well. That's kind of
wild.
You gotta keep that in mind too.
Arson in the West. It's like those people are burning down their land. It's
well, there's so many factors at play. It is really hot. There are those hot winds. Wildfires happen. Some of the trees in the forest, I was taught this when I was like 8 years old. And they had pine cones there. They're like, these pine cones only open up and work after a wildfire. And it only happens every like 100 years.
Yeah.
But it literally, like the forest regenerates every 50, 100, 150 years. We've been living in them 40, 50, 60, 70 years, right? Since World War II, a lot of these kind of suburb, exurb.
And we've been putting out the fires.
And we haven't been clearing the brush, and we've been putting out the fires. So, and some of it is like, hello, this should have happened. Bad land management, and it just needed to happen. Some of it is crazy arsonists. Some of it's just like kind of unusually hot weather. Doesn't mean pay all the carbon taxes to Al Gore, but it is pretty damn hot and dry out. And there's other factors too. So, I mean, this is multifaceted. So that's what we try to cut into issues and topics this way. And it can sound verbose and kind of like we're just pontificating and rambling. Sometimes we are. But there are a lot of factors at play. And just looking at the wildfires, there's 3, 4, 5 factors or more. But it all relates to if you live in that area, you need to identify these factors and at least have some sort of plan to be prepared, right?
Yeah, I'm sure many people with forethought in the West who do live in the mountains near these forests, you know, know perfectly well how to get out. And I think they leave and they have two properties probably, and one of their properties is closer to civilization where they're going to have a better opportunity. You know, you're not going to see huge towns burning down.
Right.
But
that's a good point.
But up in the rural areas, it's, you know, you have to have a way out because that's going to happen. You're living in, you know, Western forests. those major fires would happen in the East up until the 60s as well.
And that's crazy. No, I never even really considered or thought of that, but I would think it had to, right? And
yeah, I'm from the Northeast, and they fought fires in the 50s. Really? I met people who were released from high school to go, you know, volunteers who would go up and put them out, but they put those fires out, right? And it's a much damper climate anyways, so it's not going to ever be like the Rockies.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Or California is even more so. But no, okay, interesting. So one more quick tidbit. Like the head of the Rocky Mountain firefighting, like the PR, was my good friend I played baseball with, mother. But it was horrible because she had to give the news when 7 firefighters died.
Yeah.
On the mountain. This is like 1998. It was really famous, actually.
I got time for a quick story.
So, yeah, go for it. So, anyway, fire.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So, and I spoke about this on my daily audio cash Friday on the September 11th. Spoke a little bit about my personal background, what I was doing on September 11th. But, I was an engineer officer, and we did the explosive range, which the Discovery Channel filmed that I could talk about another day. But one of the finales of engineer officer basic course is a flue gas bomb where a 50-gallon oil drum is filled with flammable liquid and then C4 is packed around it. These were done in Vietnam to protect fire bases, and it was a traditional to still set one off. It blew out backwards, throwing this flaming napalm essentially into the woods. We rushed into the woods. The commander of our class just said, get your e-tools. And I tried to put that fire out. Hats off to guys that fight fires, because within minutes of being near maybe a 10 by 10 square yard area of the forest burning, I was getting choked out. It's a hard job. So hats off to guys that actually, guys and gals that go fight those fires. It's no joke.
Crazy, crazy. All right, folks, we'll be back. Patriot Power.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Knocked over the post.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us. Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Episode 111, September 15th, 2020. News Blitz, straight off of Future Danger. This Tuesday night, column one. We got a outrageous sexualized minor film controversy on Netflix. CNN interviews Netflix CEO, fails to ask any questions about it as the scandal rages. FBI claims Antifa is not starting West Coast wildfires, carrying that under censorship because they said it before 8 to 10 other arrests occurred. News censorship. Twitter suspends the account of Chinese scientist who published a paper alleging COVID was created in the Wuhan lab. After less than 2 days of having a Twitter account linking to her scientific paper, she was removed with zero explanation from Twitter. High school football player suspended for flying flags to honor 9/11 cops and firefighters. Police stay conditioned at school. The president and the CDC, major controversy. Are government statistics being falsified? If so, by who? The CDC scientists or the White House? The debate rages this week. Meanwhile, $194 million in anonymous donations are funneled to Democrat presidential campaign. All supposedly small donations from people mainly unemployed. How does that make sense? Column 2. Black ops, watching for spying, espionage, clandestine operation, evidence indicators. We got a couple. News article off of YouTube from a major meteorological and seismic forecaster, Dutch Sensei, asking the question, are directed energy weapons starting the fires in California and Oregon? It's got some interesting analysis by video. Mystery drone incursions reported over U.S. missile battery in Guam. Driver runs over a BLM protester and breaks both of his legs. Brutal political violence continues into the fall. Over in NATO, tensions between allies in the Eastern Mediterranean, Greece, Turkey, at loggerheads, France coming and backing up Turkey, Greece, and now news tonight reports that the U.S. is holding armored exercises near the Turkish border with the Greek army. Again, all these actors are NATO allies. How long does NATO survive if any of that comes to blows? Probably won't with U.S. tanks there. In the Pacific, China said to boost strategic commodity reserves as their newspaper tells their people, straight up prepare for war. Houthis in Arabia strike the capital of Saudi Arabia. Houthis are proxies of the Iranians. They strike the capital with missiles and drones. They've done it before. Hasn't escalated, but it isn't typical. And the president says he will put down insurrection if opponents riot on election night. Early forewarning of the indicator insurrection declared. Going to maximum alert. I'm going to jump to column 4. We get several earthquakes. Yellowstone gets a swarm of 91. Meanwhile, big ones in the sea off of Japan and Fiji. Birds dropping dead in New Mexico. Potentially hundreds of thousands. What's causing that? And again, wildfire recap. 3 dead in California, bear fire. 2 in Oregon. And as many as 200 major fires continuing to burn. 500,000 people in Oregon forced to flee. Death toll later jumped to 15 across California, Oregon, and Washington. It's higher tonight. Eastern Washington woman arrested for starting a false fire. Man arrested on arson allegations in wildfires. West of Eugene, man seen starting fires at Oregon State Park. California woman accused of intentionally setting fires on Highway 101. Oregon man freed after starting brush fire, set 6 more with Molotov cocktails. None of those headlines are on the Drudge Report this week. In the pestilence category, you weigh the threats. Ebola in the Congo, outbreak has killed 121, the newest outbreak. Meanwhile, global COVID-19 cases attributed to 29 million deaths. Check out the Gulf wind map from Windy. Shows the eye of Hurricane Sally. Do that for all tropical storms. It's a great map, great resource. And that eye is probably 100 miles off the coast tonight right now. And finally, an article I want to get into a little bit later. Ben, precision breeding. Scientists creating gene-edited livestock like never before. Now, column 3, economics. Job claims come in worse than forecast. Still many red flags in the labor markets. Federal spending tops $6 trillion for first time. Deficit tops $3 trillion for first time. GDP, debt to GDP ratio, 136%. New indicator heating up. Much of a trailing indicator. We're seeing this now in September. It was March when it really hit us. Americans are raiding their retirement savings. 401ks are getting raided. Don't usually see that headline, but it is dire. Maybe people are checking out of the equity markets before it crashes again. Big economic tests still to come with corporate insolvencies. Firms widely could fail. Volatilities in the 25s. Dow Jones was even for the night. Foreign debt held. U.S. debt held by foreigners is increasing. U.S. dollar is hovering near 93 on the DXY dollar index. And gold tonight, Ben, is 1961. How's that strike you for a wrap of our current situation?
Great news blitz as always, Future Dan. Going to go ahead and actually go in reverse order and give a little bit of commentary. So I'm almost going to go.
Commentary.
go all the way through.
Let's get some commentary. Yeah.
Commentary. Start with that 401k funds rated. As you said, a lagging indicator here. 6 months. And this data, a lot of this data is, 3 to 6 months. You know, it's this past summer. It's just being reported now. And that's essentially worst case scenario, because generally when you're rating your 401k, you're taking a 10% penalty on some of that taxes and stuff. So, it can make sense in an emergency. You need that for those funds ASAP, but it is really an emergency.
Like you don't operation. Have a job right now?
Exactly. So, I mean, that's really, a lot of the times, that's the only way you'll qualify for one anyway. Mm-hmm. You have to qualify for this. This isn't really your money until you qualify for it, by the way. Real quickly, wrap up the economics, and we'll keep going to some of the other columns.
Can we go an episode without really talking about debt again after raising the issue of debt?
Of course not. Talk about debt trillion. All the time, every time, because it goes up federal tens government of billions every episode.
$6 trillion for the first time ever.
That's pretty insane. $6 trillion spent, half of that, $3 trillion, is borrowed. Awesome. A lot of it from the Federal Reserve, some of it from China, and some of it from the American people. So, yeah, you could say we're borrowing from ourselves. No, the government is borrowing from the people. When the government defaults, the people are not going to get paid back by their treasuries. Or inflation, of course. The stealth tax.
I wonder if we can get to 222 episodes of Patriot Power Hour. While that is still less than $6 trillion government spending. Or I'm sorry, $12
trillion. Oh, double?
Yeah, think double the episodes. And everything will be just fine.
Everything will not be fine at that point. I would not put it past this, though. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But a dollar may not be worth a dollar in the future, if that makes sense. So we may see some inflation there. But I don't know if I'm not making a bet on that, but we can definitely data mine this for episode 222. Episode 111 tonight on this September 15th, 2020. Real quick on the economic finish up. We're still seeing 884,000 initial jobless claims. You were telling me before the show, hey, should I readjust this indicator? Because it's red pretty much all the way through because of the record job losses.
The economic gauge on the indicator.
Exactly. Yeah, the economic gauge. Long story short, in the near to midterm, it's damn near impossible for us to see 3, 4, 5 million new jobless claims in a week because we've already lost so many. If we see multiple millions lost in a week anytime soon, that is all muscle being cut off.
So what's the top of the chart scale? If I'll tell you right now, as tonight it sits on Future Danger, it's set at 5 million.
Yeah.
Because at the peak, it looked like we could possibly start reaching a $5
million. $5 million initial, per week.
Yeah.
Right. Well, right now, I mean, it can still hit 5 million in theory, but I don't think so.
Well, I got to set the gauge somewhere. Yeah.
At this point, it's like what used to be 5 million is probably like 2.5 or 3 million now.
Cut it in half.
Yeah, because I'm not saying half people got laid off, but a very large percentage of people lost their jobs, so it's not even possible. So anyway, without getting down that rabbit hole, I think you should adjust it, yeah, my opinion.
I probably will.
Maybe to 2 or 3 million to the far right. And keep that red pretty much where it is at 1 million or so, or even less. Anyway, I talked a lot about wildfires already. I'll leave that be pretty much where it is, and as well as the hurricane. The precision breeding scientists creating gene edited livestock.
Let's save it for later.
We want to talk about that on the other hand. Okay. Yeah.
Dig right into like what that. Why is that bad?
Well, maybe it's good, but maybe it's bad. I mean, is technology good or bad? Well, gene editing, is that good or bad? That's a whole debate. But does anyone even have that debate, or are we just having foisted upon us?
They're just doing it.
Exactly. That's what my big problem is. So we are running out of time on the second segment. We're going to be going to break. Check out PrepperBroadcasting.com. PrepperBroadcasting.com, the home for not just the Patriot Power Hour, but multiple other awesome shows here on the PBN. We'll be right back on the other side. Covering this and many other topics, Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Got money, I'll do anything for you.
Got money, just tell me what you want me to. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
It was right after the revolution, right after peace had been concluded. And Ethan Allen went to London to help our new country conduct his business with the king. The English sneered at how rough we are and rude and simple-minded and on like that everywhere he went. Until one day he was invited to the townhouse of a great English lord. Dinner was served, beverages imbibed. Time passed, as happens, and Mr. Allen found he needed the privy. He was grateful to be directed thence. Relieved, you might say. Now, Mr. Allen discovered on entering the water closet that the only decoration therein was a portrait of George Washington. Ethan Allen done what he came to do and returned to the drawing room. His host and the others were disappointed when he didn't mention Washington's portrait. And finally, his lordship couldn't resist and asked Mr. Allen had he noticed it, the picture of Washington he had. Well, what did he think of its placement? Did it seem appropriately located to Mr. Allen? Mr. Allen said it did. His host was astounded. Appropriate? George Washington's likeness in a water closet? Yes, said Mr. Allen, where it'll do good service. The whole world knows nothing to make an Englishman shit quicker than the sight of George Washington.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, Ben the Breaker of Banksters. One big note for everybody, by the way, as we enter the second half of the show. Next week, season finale. It'll be the end of our summer season. We follow the seasons here at the Patriot Power Hour and fall equinox. Excuse me. Yeah, equinox. I almost called it the solstice. Of course it's the equinox. Next week, next Tuesday, 22nd of September, we'll be live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central for that season finale. Look forward to that. In fact, I think we might even start early. I'll let you guys know on social medias, but at a minimum, we'll be at live 8 to 9. Might make it an hour and a half special. TBD. But season finale, looking forward to that. Bring some special stuff to the table, too.
Yeah, we should do a summer in review. Look at some of the unprecedented events and try to draw conclusions on what has to be worse than that to really get our attention. Because some of this is like the boiling frog metaphor. You're just being, you know, habitualized to terrible and terrible news, and then things sneak up on you even worse because you kind of start tuning out, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's actually perfect. I think you nailed it. This summer was, it seemed like not much was going on. But everything was cooking,
police
baking. Bottles. Well, that, okay, there you go. But I was talking 90% of the other stuff. It was relatively quiet in the last couple months. Rioting, social issues definitely started May and lasted the entire summer. But I was talking more of like financial, emergency financial measures and potential economic collapse, COVID problems. Real, we've seen some saber rattling, but kind of that next level between East and West, let's just call it that. But I think it's starting to gear up now compared to a month ago, especially 2 months ago. It seems like there's a lot more development on the news blitz. People are back from their vacations. I know every year I say this, and maybe it's an old tripe, but it seems like once you hit Labor Day, that's when stuff kicks into gear, and that's not even on an election year. So I do like that idea, though, kind of going back to summer in review. What really did take place? What maybe did not take place that we thought, if we went back to March or April, how we foresaw, you know, July, what did or did not take place as we thought? And try to get that kind of retrospective. And then, of course, focus on the future. Focus on that next season coming up into the winter and obviously the election.
Yeah, and at any point between tonight and next Tuesday night, there could be some insane news that comes out and completely obviates the need to do a retrospective.
That's a good point, yeah. We keep flexible, stay on our toes. I mean, there's
a lot going on in this both campaigns. Yeah. And one of the articles that we read the headline to last segment, where foreign cash is coming in could be just in plain sight corrupt and passes because some portion of the media just won't even report it. Won't even report it.
And so easy to bury, even if they weren't intentionally doing so, it would get buried with some of the crazy stuff going on. But long story short, all the issues we were facing, almost none of them have been solved, and there's been a lot of new ones over the summer, so we'll definitely hit that next week. Be the season finale. Heading back to Future Danger.
Talk about now.
Finish up now. Yeah. Live in the now, not the past, not the future. Let's try to do that, even though it is futuredanger.com. It's right now.
You want to read us a little bit of that precision breeding?
Yes.
Read us the lead of that article. Let's consider what the scientists are doing with that CRISPR technology.
Here we go. Scientists create gene-edited animals as surrogate sires to boost food production. This is out of London. Scientists have created gene-edited pigs, goats, and cattle to produce sperm with traits such as disease resistance, higher meat quality, etc., in what they say is a step towards genetically enhancing livestock to improve food production. And continues to go on, of course. Read the entire article at futuredanger.com, and it'll link you to the source article that was published yesterday. You know, I'm all about efficiency and boosting food production, but there's just so many other potential problems off of this.
Let's explain that surrogate sire. What they're doing here is that they're using CRISPR-Cas9. It's a version of CRISPR, but CRISPR is the computer-based gene editing technology. It's a tool, and they can slice and dice genetics and build forms of life or characteristics of life forms. They're doing this thing called surrogate sires. It's essentially a sterile blank slate that can be transplanted with stem cells to produce the sperm necessary for, you know, what would normally have happened through husbandry. You gain these sires. I mean, there's champion bulls that have sired tens and tens and tens of thousands of offspring because they're so genetically fit, right? This is doing it and slicing and dicing and creating sperm without there ever being the sire. They're surrogate, just templates. And now they're using it to impregnate, you know, to produce the offspring of a father animal that was never there.
That's pretty insane if you think about it that way. I think it totally replaces one of the oldest professions. Maybe not the oldest profession, if you know what I mean, but one of the oldest, husbandry and just kind of managing a flock, managing animals and trying to get the most efficiency by breeding them. But that was actually breeding them, and okay, this is my strongest male, let's make him the sire. There you go. That's pretty on its face. That works. There's not much risk to that. Modifying the genetics at the core and all the stuff they're doing here, that hasn't been tested before, and that's totally uncharted waters, for better or worse.
So the conspiracy theory mantra stops really working when you start thinking in terms of covert warfare has always existed. It's probably highly accelerated right now, and it's hitting new dimensions that it never has been any before. And the fact that they can create surrogate sires with CRISPR means they can make bioweapons that are non-attributable to respiratory diseases. And again, the scientist that published yet another paper saying that's exactly what this was out of Wuhan for COVID-19 is being censored tonight, but the paper's there. You can read it off of the link on Future Danger, with many others in the archive under the indicator labs lose control of pathogens.
Yeah.
So if they're doing this to animals with CRISPR, why wouldn't it be possible with disease? And more importantly, if you're reading a headline about this, where they're doing this to the food supply, what a target that would be to covert bio war. You know, you could do terrible things within this new industry of precision breeding and bring a country's food supply to its knees.
Well, and that's honestly where I was going with it in my mind, like kind of worst case, and it could be either on purpose or accidental.
Or a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Well, like wildfires tonight
exactly.
out west.
There you go. Perfect segue to what we were talking about in the very beginning. Almost nothing is one single variable.
They're hybrid. It's a hybrid environment.
Yep.
Of threats.
Definitely. So it's... In this case, I'm more worried about us not knowing what the hell we're doing and screwing up just as a species almost. And who knows what that can mean. Some plague that kills off all of a certain crop or... You know, kills off 90% of cows worldwide, and you know, meat production's out of, and like literally, if that happens, millions of people will starve because the first world won't starve; they'll just eat, you know, grains and other types of meat. It'll be the third world that will no longer have access to that kind of basic food because we're eating it because all the pigs or all the cows died off. Just you know, one small example of what could happen. But I'm more worried about that. You bring up terrorism or even state-sponsored. Pretty much sabotage and biological warfare. Very possible. Possibly what we saw with COVID. So, no, this isn't just about making, you know, 20% more efficient factory farms. This is a lot bigger picture.
And there's a large share of Prepper Broadcasting Network listeners, you know, are raising their own animals. Obviously. Listen to the shows.
Yeah, no, for sure.
How many?
There's another reason to.
How many hens are the right number of hens, right?
There you go. That might as well.
If there's these mega factories, corrupted and or incompetent and or infiltrated by black ops that insert some kind of technology in, you know, edits, gene edits to cause basically a blight, right?
Yep. That was the word I was looking for, blight.
Blight's the word used for crops. I'm not sure if you use it for livestock, but whatever the correct word for the equivalent of livestock is, that would be, there'd be even more people pointing to the homesteading movement and saying, maybe I ought to be doing that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So
maybe I should have had, maybe I need to get a hold of basically organic animals.
Yeah. And that's where it really branches out to preparedness. And this is what I like about Patriot Power Hour. We bring this news and then it's up to how do you prepare for it? How do you think about it? There's different ways. You could say, okay, I'm going to get an extra freezer and pack it full of meat. So something like this happens, guess what? Or if price of meat doubles in the next year for whatever reason.
This is for years' problem. This is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like at the very basic level, right in front of you, you can say, this is a reason to have a lot of meat.
This is catastrophic, dystopia, science fiction stuff.
Well, that's like the level 4 preparedness, as we use in our example. For that, you need to go have a 50-acre ranch and do this and that, or maybe Fortitude Ranch. There's the plug for you. But where are you on that continuum, and where do you see this at, is the question, what we try to parse out, I guess. You're right, absolutely. From a big picture, this is generational. Like, what will this be in 20 years or 50 years from now, is the question. But kind of at the high level, what would happen, or excuse me, at the micro level, what happens if beef becomes unavailable or meat goes up a factor of 2 or 3 in the next year, maybe even just because of financial crisis, let alone this. That's how I look, the full spectrum, kind of right in front of you, but 20, 30, 50 years down the road too.
Well, I'm going to look at it optimistically. I just went to Walmart and I bought a product, men's grooming kit, and it had like the things to clip your nails, all the stuff, the little, you know, personal hygiene. It had 9 metal tools, all black, of good quality, and I looked at the package and it was made in America. It's made in Georgia.
What?
It was the best product I've bought in Walmart in years, and I just picked it up.
Really?
Yes.
That seems almost unbelievable.
It's there right now.
I was literally in the back of my head saying, what, was it made in China? What are you getting this story for?
It wasn't. I'm hopeful that American ingenuity, local farms, local production will immediately spring to action if a pollution or a corruption or a sabotage of our food supply comes about from precision breeding, because it has to be a covert biowarfare target.
I'd hope so. I still got faith in America, even though it gets bashed left and right all over the place. We can have an American renaissance. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that on the other side. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour. Dude, stick with us.
Are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The 6 principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
These things you say we will have, we already have.
That's true. I ain't promising you nothing extra. I'm just giving you life, and you're giving me life. And I'm saying that men can live together without butchering one another.
It's said that governments are chiefed by the double tongues. And there is iron in your words of death for all Comanche to see. And so there is iron in your words of life. No signed paper can hold the iron. It must come from men. The words of 10 bears carries the same iron of life and death. It is good that warriors such as we meet in the struggle of life or death. It shall be life.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
All right, folks, final segment 111th episode, Patriot Power Hour, Ben the Breaker of Banksters. Follow me at Bankster Breaker on Twitter, at Bankster Breaker. And Future Dan, where can people find you?
Tell them. You say it better than I do.
Future Danger 6. Use the numeral 6. So Future Danger number 6. All one word, no hyphenation or any of that stuff. Future Danger 6. And there's not just Future Danger 6, but you have some, what do you call them, I guess? Like 12, or I think there's 12. But there's a few other accounts you have on Twitter that also try to keep a theme with some of the news, and they're kind of like blast the news out.
Yeah, I call them bots.
You call them bots.
They're bots.
So you got 12 bots that really aggregate the news. So the reason I'm bringing this up is a lot of people, especially, to be honest, the younger generation, but not, it's not always based on age, but if you use mobile devices a lot more than the PC, or you use Twitter app a lot more than you use like Google Chrome to get your news, right? Well, follow those bots and follow Future Danger 6. You don't have to go to futuredanger.com to get your news. You can just follow it on Twitter. And there you go. It's right there for you. Bam. Click it and it'll take you right to the articles.
Yeah. Yeah. And the bots are set up to
kind of
categorize news. So if you really care about the financials.
Yep.
And the other stuff that comes out of column 1 and 2 or column 4 don't concern you as much. You can subscribe to one of the bots, and they're all on a list that we got on Twitter. If you don't understand how this works, you're new to Twitter, just hit me up at the handle that Ben just announced, Future Danger 6. I'll guide you to them, but you can kind of watch an aggregation within Future Danger of the stuff you care more about.
Yep, exactly. And to be honest, I obviously, Future Danger 6 I follow, but I think 5 or 6 of your bots, not every one of them, but the great majority. But really, I mean, you can find this stuff, obviously go to futuredanger.com, and you can find all the social media on the right-hand column, scroll down a little bit. But
there's a feature of the website, though, that we should talk about. It's not necessarily an indicator that we talk about as a threat, but it's kind of odd. Somebody might argue with what I just said, but for about a year, maybe more, we've carried a feed off of a QAnon site, most 3 recent posts from Q as aggregated. Well, the guy who ran that was just outed as a financial kind of trader kind of guy living in New Jersey.
Okay.
Somehow he got tracked down by some mainstream outlet and they doxed him.
Really?
Yeah. And it's broken on the website tonight. We're not QAnon promoters. But it's on the website because that's a big, that has a sizable movement that shares a common interest in most of the news on Future Danger. So we posted it and it automatically fed. So right now if you go to the website, it's dead because that guy took his site down.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I gotta remove that from the website.
I think you put it right. It's like whether it's totally fake or totally true or something in the middle. I mean,
people are paying
attention. QAnon, exactly. It's moving the needle. People are paying attention. And if it is fake, I'm not gonna say more important to follow if it's fake. But who's putting it out there? Why is it getting so much time? But if it's real, I mean, that's a whole nother level. Anyway, we got only like 7 minutes left, even less when you put the time on. I want to cover a couple more articles, but I don't want to leave things hanging with what we were covering, kind of that American resurgence, American renaissance even. I feel like we can do it, but we're almost to that point of no return in a lot of ways. And I even just want to focus on, from a kind of like a cultural civilization society point of view, we're starting to get to that point of no return. I still think we can have that renaissance and kick the crap out of all the competition worldwide when it comes to not just economics, but in sports and art, just like we've been doing. Proud to be an American here, for sure. There's a reason we've been kicking so much ass. But we're starting to fall off. We're starting to slip. It seems like it's falling even quicker. I guess the question is, do you believe that there's a point of no return? Number one. Number two, are we there? Are we heading there? Or do you think just because of what America is, not even from the Constitution, but just it's such a melting pot of people and ideas and so many natural resources in such a big area that some way or another, America will still kind of come back, even if we're corrupted at some point?
Yeah, well, I talked about it in the Daily Audio Cache last Friday. You know, the country coming apart, there's several major questions about how that could happen. And the security apparatus is so sound and intact, and I guess you could call it the deep state, that how a breakdown happens, I don't know. But moving through generational norms towards a new understanding of what it means to be American, I'm not sure if that's happening. I can tell you that when I was little, we had lost the Vietnam War, and you know, we saw our Iranian hostages humiliated. We attempted a rescue mission, and that failed out in Desert One. And Soviets invaded Afghanistan, and we were in stagflation. And then the 80s were better, and the early 90s weren't, and the late 90s economically boomed. And then, you know, back and forth. These unprecedented interventions in central banking are probably what drive your viewpoint of point of no return. In that sphere, and we talk about it constantly on this show, we are way beyond ever being normal again. But just socially as Americans and pulling together, I think it ebbs and flows. And this election is going to definitely be a low.
Yeah. No, I know, right? Hopefully it's the very low. It probably won't be. But I think I like where you're going with that. When it comes, I talk a lot about money and finance and stuff, but I think from that, we're mathematically up a river. So it's like, okay, once the financial system's insolvent and we bankrupt and we go into receivership, hopefully we can come out of it, because guess what? We still have tons of resources and tons of assets. Just because the banksters screw us over, put us into $50 trillion in debt, look, we still have a lot of productivity here. You just got to think of it almost like wartime. Like, okay, fine, you're going to crash the stock market, everything's gone, fine. Well, we still have lots of powerful assets, militarily, factories, technology. We can still come back from this. But in a way, they're convincing us that we're falling apart and trying to make it kind of come true on that hand. Also, I don't know, we're running low on time again. Don't want to go too deep down this, but do want to just wonder almost from society's point of view, though, and I'm thinking of almost like the welfare state and the surveillance state and kind of the big agro / big pharma. So those right there have their hooks in us, and each one of them is kind of dragging down the average American, coming a little sicker, a little fatter, a little poorer, a little bit more of a slave, a little more surveilled. So add that all up, even just the finances out of it, and people are becoming almost like meaner, shorter attention span, you know, addicted to all types of stuff these days. I mean, America's never been perfect, but I feel like people are starting to regress. Hopefully I'm not being too pessimistic. I still think we can come back from this, but it's not going in the right direction in a lot of ways.
Yeah, a lot of this network's dedicated to making sure spiritually, financially, you know, materially, skill-based, you're not letting that happen to you.
Yep. No, absolutely. You got to look at it from all those different ways, too. You can't just like, okay, I'm getting my finances in gear, or, oh, I'm only going to worry about my bug-out bag, or only going to worry about X, Y, Z. You got to think about a lot of stuff. It's a pain in the ass, but that's life, I guess.
Yeah. And waking others up to it so that there's more resilience in the society, yep, is what Intrepid Commander puts out constantly, and we're 100% behind that message.
Yeah, no, that's like the next level. Once you get yourself and your family and your neighbors, then you got all that. Then you look at that kind of that meta level, and Intrepid Commander is a great example. There's one guy busting his butt, got a lot of people that also wanted to bust their butt, brought them together. That's what you got to do, whether it's just yourself, you and your wife, just your family, or an entire community. all the way up the scale. You got to. That's what you got to try to do.
Yes, yeah, skills based is my focus point. Pay attention to this network when people tell you what it takes to do these things. Even if you're not practicing, merely being familiar with a knowledge base is a massive step towards doing it yourself in an extreme situation. So if you're not practicing prepping tonight and you're down in the Gulf or you're out in the West and you have these problems, you might wake up to the idea that this year, 2020, is the time to start.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, folks, that's it for the Patriot Power Hour. Featured Dan, another good show in the box. Thanks a lot. Guys, we're going to make way for the Next Generation show. Coming up on PBN, again, we'll be live next Tuesday, September 22nd. Tune in live.
112.
Episode 112, season finale. It'll be a lot of fun. Till then, guys, have a good week. We'll catch you later. Patriot Power Hour signing off.
I wanna dance by water beneath the Mexican sky. Drink some margaritas by swinging blue lights. Listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me?